Ancient coins are pieces of time. Welcome back to Ancient Coins Pieces of Time podcast, the only podcast that I know of about ancient coins on the World Wide Web. I'm your host, Tom Bray. It's been a long time since I've been with you. I'm sorry about that. This is our second podcast dealing with the hobby of ancient coin collecting. I've been away getting my master's in education. I've done my first year of teaching, but I've had so much I've wanted to do with this podcast, and I've finally gotten around to doing it. I have several great interviews recorded. The first one is with Mr. Wayne Sales, and you're going to hear that today. Wayne is the executive director of the Ancient Coin Collectors Guild, as well as the former editor of the Solitaire magazine, a collector and a writer, and just a great guy, full of information about the hobby. This interview was recorded at the New York International a while ago, but I finally got time to put it up here. I'm sure you're going to find it as timely and as fresh as the day it was recorded. So sit back and enjoy our interview with Mr. Wayne Sales. My guest today is Wayne Sales, who is currently the executive director of the Ancient Coin Collectors Guild, formerly the editor-in-chief of the Solitaire magazine, and a noted coin dealer, and also author of several wonderful books on ancient coin collecting. Thank you for taking time out of your incredibly busy schedule here at the convention to talk to me.
Well, thank you, Tom. This is a first for me.
Wayne, this podcast reaches a lot of collectors who are new to the world of ancient coins. And so I wondered if you'd tell us a little bit about what the Ancient Coin Collectors Guild is and why it was even started.
Well, the Ancient Coin Collectors Guild is an advocacy group that supports many interests of ancient coin collectors, and it was started because there's a void. There hasn't been a national organization to support ancient coin collectors specifically for many, many, many years. There was one earlier attempt, Ancient Coin Collectors of America, lasted about 3 years in the mid-70s, and then it broke up for lack of participation, basically. And the issues that are facing us and the whole hobby of ancient coin collecting today spurred the need for some immediate reaction and also for longer planning and what we could do as a hobby and have an organization to serve those needs in the future.
I think some of our listeners may have heard on the periphery out there of some of these issues. Could you tell us what exactly was it that made this organization so necessary now?
I think the immediate pressing issues have been the import restrictions that have been requested from foreign nations through the State Department, and the introduction of legislation in the U.S. Congress that would impose import restrictions on ancient coins and other forms of antiquities that are really what we would call insignificant cultural property items.
So most ancient coins still come from Europe and Eastern Europe, is that right?
Well, all of them. I mean, ultimately, all ancient coins come from Europe or the Mediterranean area or Eastern Europe, because there was no coinage in the United States before 1600. And even then, what we had here was not American coinage. It was coinage from some other country. And so when you think about ancient coins, you might think only about Greek and Roman coins. But if you extend the definition as it's been outlined by UNESCO to being 100 years or older, then you have to include all those coins from foreign countries that circulated in the U.S. in the early 1600s, the pre-colonial coinage.
So is the hobby threatened by this legislation?
Well, it is in a sense. Of course, it's a huge hobby, and I wouldn't say the hobby is going to disappear overnight because of the legislation, but the precedence that these legislations, the ones that have been proposed and one that did pass, those precedents are dangerous because they can be a stepping stone to larger things.
I see. So you wouldn't discourage anybody who's out there thinking about collecting ancient coins from entering the hobby because of this legislation?
Oh, no, we're not at all pessimistic about the future of the hobby. We're just busily engaged in getting our point of view out before the general public, because we know that when the general public is aware of the issues and they understand that we're talking about relatively insignificant objects that exist in the millions, that the public will realize that we're not talking about the same thing as the Euphronius crater or the Rosetta Stone or you know, some obelisk in Rome. I mean, these are minor utilitarian objects that people have collected forever and have migrated around the world for hundreds of years without any restrictions at all.
So these ancient coins, not all of them are rare then?
Not at all. And there are many ancient coins that exist in thousands and hundreds of thousands of copies, and they're essentially identical. And they're not. And you would think that ancient and old means expensive and rare, but not at all rare and not at all expensive. Ancient collectors can buy ancient coins, really nice-looking ancient coins, for $5 or less. And there's an infinite variety of those. And so it's not an issue of national treasures that we're trying to preserve here and protect. We're trying to protect the rights of individuals to have a touch, to be able to touch a piece of the past and to understand the culture of other countries.
Now, how would a new collector go about joining your organization? Is membership open to anyone?
Yes, certainly is. And you don't even have to be a collector, of course, to be a member of the ACCG. But membership is open to anyone who has an interest in antiquity, learning more about it. And you know, what we've talked about so far is response to legislation or threats against the hobby. But the ACCG is a broader organization than that. A part of our charter, so to speak, is that the nurturing of the hobby, and that we do through education programs. We have a scholarship established for the ANA Summer Seminar. We have a scholarship established to create educational programs in schools around the country. We added 10 new schools this year to the Ancient Coins for Education program, which is a broadly based program. They have currently have activities in 140 schools around the country, and I'm talking about elementary level through high school level schools, where students get hands-on exposure to coins. They can earn coins through various projects they do at school, writing papers or presenting talks about one thing or another, and they actually get to earn a genuine ancient coin and take it home with them.
Fantastic. Now, you're also an author and have been a coin dealer for many years. I think that our listeners might be interested in why ancient coins? How did you ever get interested in this hobby, and what got you into it?
I get asked that question a lot.
I'll bet.
Yeah, well, I was I have a career in the military. I'm retired from the U.S. Air Force. And the Air Force, in its infinite wisdom, sent me to Turkey in 1966. And while I was in Turkey, I got to see in the marketplace there little bowls of coins, and I was really wasn't even a coin collector in those days, but I was kind of intrigued by them because I would wonder what they were. They looked different than any other coins I'd seen, and so I found one of these coins, and I bought it for, I think, 50 cents maybe, and had no idea what it was. I sent it back to Iola, Wisconsin, to Krause Publications, at Coins Magazine. And that was my only contact with the coin world. And so I sent coins, and I said, what is this? They sent me back a nice, polite letter saying that this was a coin, a bronze phallus of Maurice Tiberius. And so my first exposure to the ancient coin world was a bronze phallus of Maurice Tiberius. And when I found out that coin was struck in 700-something A.D., I was just in awe that something like that could be floating around yet, and much less that you could find one for 50 cents in a marketplace.
That's fantastic. Now, are you currently writing anything now?
Oh, too many things.
Yeah. Anything on the fire?
Well, I write a monthly column, of course, for The Solitaire yet, and I'm working on...
The Solitaire is the magazine for ancient coin collectors.
That's right. It's now in its 20th year of production, which is, I think, a record in the industry. I am also working on a book on the coins in the history of the city of Malos, which is a city in southern Turkey in Cilicia, in the ancient province of Cilicia. I'm also working on a longer-term project on coins from the city of Anazarbus from that same region. I'm helping another author, co-authoring a book on coins of the Achaean League, which is in southern in Greece, the Peloponnese. And I have a number of books in print, but three of them are about ready to go out of print, so it looks like I'm probably going to be doing second editions of all those volumes.
And you're being kept busy, yeah. Yeah. Are you collecting anything right now?
I collect coins of Anazarbus, one of the cities that I enjoyed visiting when I was stationed over there. It's a small esoteric collection, and it's not most people would look at the coins as ugly little bronze coins, but I enjoy them because of the history and a personal association.
What advice would you give to a listener who says, you know, this sounds intriguing, I think I'd like to collect ancient coins? How would you tell them to start? What advice would you give them?
Well, how to start and what advice? The advice I would give in one word is focus. The sooner a collector focuses, the more intelligently they can put together a collection that will be of some meaning to them and to anybody else in the world. The way to start is a little more difficult a question to answer, but one way that you can start is with a simple coin, an inexpensive coin, and when you get the coin, learn all that you can learn historically about the coin. Before you go out and buy a bunch of coins, just take one little coin. And don't be content to just learn who struck the coin, but who was the person that struck the coin? What can you learn about that person? And more than likely, it would be a simple personality that everybody recognizes, like Constantine the Great. And you would you'd move on up as your interests and your horizons broaden. You'd get to people that you'd never heard of before, and then you start to learn.
Wayne, I know you're very busy. I really want to thank you for talking to us today and taking time out of your schedule.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's been a pleasure.
That was my interview with Mr. Wayne Sales at the New York International Coin Collecting Convention. I hope you enjoyed it, because I really enjoyed interviewing Wayne and being able to post this on the web. I'm sure you saw that Wayne's a great guy and has a great deal of information about the hobby. That just about wraps it up for this edition of Pieces of Time, the Ancient Coin Podcast. I am your host, Tom Bray. Please be sure to check our show notes out at www.piecesoftime.com. And please join us next time. I hope it'll be sooner than this last time, when we'll post another wonderful interview about an ancient coin collecting topic. In the meantime, check out my column monthly at Coin World Magazine, and remember that ancient coins are pieces of time. This is episode number 2, copyright 2007 by Lavender Rose Productions, Inc.